All right. Let's start by opening up to Ephesians 2:8-9. And I had every intention of not doing a Mother's Day sermon for our Mother's Day. And you might say, well, why wouldn't you do that? Because not every Mother's Day or Father's Day I do, and most of the time I do plan on one, but for some reason I didn't have a topic to talk about. So I prepared to do the rest of Matthew 27, and I came down here to church before the graduation for the Bear Lodge Friday morning, and I've been working on Matthew 27 part 3 to do. And I got down here, and before I came down here that morning, I was working on my monthly devotional for the paper, and I was doing it on grace or extreme grace. So while I'm down here, I came down here to anoint the windows and everything. I anoint the oil, the church in oil about 2 or 3 times a year. Just so you guys don't know that. I go around the windows, the doors, and the pulpit, all the musical instruments. I'm like, Lord, if I could play one, Lord, please. No, I don't do that. I just, but, you know, the sound booth, it's to strengthen our church, to protect our church, because we need it. But while I was doing that, and I had this grace, extreme grace, and like God's like, you're going to teach about Mother's Day on grace. And the best thing for a mother to have is grace. And I'm like, Lord, I already have a sermon. And he's like, well, that's good. You'll have that one next week. So after the graduation of the Bear Lodge, I went home Friday afternoon and worked on that and yesterday. So it was my plan and my goal and my aim to finish up Matthew 27, and that was the idea, but God had other ideas. And I've realized in my life, I'm getting it, that he has pretty good ideas. And I'm learning to listen better. So I sat down Friday and started to put down on paper this idea of grace or extreme grace, and that's what God wanted me to share with all of you, with particular attention on how it relates to mothers, and like we sang, how amazing it is, and most importantly, how necessary it is. And when you start a study on grace, we could talk about this for years, because it is huge and it is powerful. And it's essential and it's key to the Christian's life. And when put forth in regard to motherhood, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And you might say, well, how can that be? Well, we'll get to some of that. But in the Greek, first of all, grace is used 107 times in the Bible, 170. The first time being in Genesis 6:8, and the last time, the very last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:21. So it's important. The Greek means it's charis, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. It's a huge word. It has a lot packed in there. And it's the key ingredient in salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's an important, a key ingredient to our salvation. And very important, it unlocks the love of God. And you can't forget that. When you exercise grace, it unlocks God's love. And grace is so important not only in all life, but everyday life and the life of being a mother, because mothers and people, guys, we do a whole lot of things that you don't love to do. You don't like to do, but you do it. You do it. And when you put it out there, when you put grace out there, it often comes back in ways you never thought and not on your time schedule. Yet when you practice it, when you live it, and when you give it, its benefits are undeniable. It's like it goes both ways. Those things that are affordable, that give us joy, that are pleasurable, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness, all that go into grace. And that's what we're going to take a look at, those certain aspects of it as it pertains to motherhood. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you just for all you've done. And Lord, it's by your showing us what real grace is, that undeserved love and giving it to us, the supreme example of the cross. And let us take that, apply it to motherhood, and show us how important it is for mothers to use, because it always comes back to them too. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So before we get started, a mother's dictionary of meanings. Okay, we're going to go through a few of them here. A dumb waiter is one who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. Okay. Feedback, the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. Full name, what you call your child when you're mad at them. Oh yeah, I've been on the end of that one. Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Hearsay, what toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. Independent, how we want our children to be for as long as they do everything we say. It kind of goes back to what we said about keeping an eye on them. Show off, a child who is more talented than yours. I kind of like that one. Sterilize, what you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. Top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing Superman jammies. I like that one. A couple more. 2-minute warning, when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And the last one, who done it? None of the kids that live in your house, right? Yeah. Just a few things, definitions of mother's definitions. But the definition and meaning of grace is important. It's often defined just as undeserved love, that we don't deserve it, that God gives it to us. Or some people say the acronym, God's reward at Christ's expense, which is a good one. And there's a lot of other ones out there. And I really like definitions because they really get to what a word means. And if you don't know what it means, it's hard to live by something that you don't understand. But things get a bit tougher when you not only understand a principle, but when you apply it properly in your own life. That's when things get hard, but that's when they become real. Now, before you are a Christian, a non-Christian, you know, grace can be practiced if you're not a Christian, but it's not of God and you denied the full benefits and power of it. Because there are good people that aren't saved. Non-Christians do good things, okay? I mean, Bill Gates, I don't know if he's saved, but the guy's loaded. He gives millions away to different funds. Good things. But you know what? When you connect your soul to Christ and the grace to his love, and you practice that, that's when you get the big return. That's when you get the millionaire, billionaire return from it. Before you were a parent, you might have said, if that were my kid, I would, you know, especially in the grocery store. Afterward, you say, glad that is not my kid, but I remember when I would have done that. And when we look back at our lives before we were Christians, like my life, I was like, wow, I did a lot of good things, but now I get to do a lot of good things for God. I get to glorify him. I get to lift him up. It's like we sang, you know, when I bow down, I'm lifted up. It's when you're in humility and doing what he wants, and when you're exercising this idea of grace, that it really lifts your spirit and other people. And one of the reasons God gave us the ability to have kids other than repopulation and pull out your hair is better to understand his relationship to us as our Heavenly Father and we as his children. And everybody who has kids, you understand that. When you have a child, the way you relate to him and look at him is the way God exactly looks at us. Unconditional love. Great perspective that you can never have outside of it. And also, the reason is we get to exercise not only unconditional love, but what makes it all possible is that grace. And grace is a gift not deserved but needed. This story from Moody's Monthly says that Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker gives us an example of this undeserved love. Both had churches in London in the 19th century. On one occasion, Parker commented on the poor condition of the children admitted to Spurgeon's orphanage. It was reported to Spurgeon, however, that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. Spurgeon blasted Parker the next week from the pulpit. The attack was printed in the newspapers and became the talk of the town. People flocked to Parker's church the next Sunday to hear his rebuttal. He said, "I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and this is the Sunday they use to take an offering for his orphanage. I suggest we take a love offering here instead." The crowd was delighted. The ushers had to empty the collection plate 3 times. Later that week, there was a knock at Parker's study, and it was Spurgeon. He said, "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserved. You have given me what I needed." Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about grace. It provides not what is deserved, but what is needed. It's awesome. And that goes into the very heart and core and life of a mother. And it's recreated in the fabric of the soul of their children. Grace, when purposely used, works in both directions at the same time. It's kind of like this, I came up with this term, the impossible sewing machine. It's when you're exercising grace, what you're doing to a person is like if you were telling them how to make something as in a sewing machine, they're making the exact same thing back in your soul or your life. It's kind of like one of those paradoxes of God. As you minister to somebody or extend grace to them, you're actually getting it back in your own soul and you don't realize it. It may not seem like it. It may not seem like it at the time, but later on, and it's happening. It's happening because grace is hard for us to extend. You know, I came upon this idea not by accident. Joyce told me about this idea of extreme grace. And it was because I was dealing with a difficult situation. And she said, "Oh, it's because you practice extreme grace." And I was like, and I never realized that. And I thought about it and I was like, I guess I do. And I'm not saying I'm super spiritual or anything. And it doesn't come naturally. But I've learned in my positions to err on the side of grace. Maybe more often than not. But I've also realized as a Christian, as you practice it, you can never fulfill what God has done on the cross for us. But when you exercise this grace, the world often just shakes their head and says, "I just can't believe that they're being taken advantage of. Or I can't believe they're doing that. Or they should make a stand." I mean, I have my lines, believe me. But I guess they're more extended than others. And maybe they shouldn't be. But I don't know. But it's as grace goes forth, even when it's not deserved and seems like it's accomplishing little of anything, it's exactly what is needed and comes back as everything. That's as if you're punishing your child, okay? Do they deserve it? Yeah, most of the time. But a lot of times you extend them grace. And you don't give them what they need, or you do give them what they need. So it's this principle. And how can you as a mother or a Christian extend this beautiful gift when giving is the very last thing you want to do, right? Because all you want to give out is a whole lot of punishment. Guys, we can give it because we don't deserve it either, okay? That's like forgiveness. We can give it to others because we don't deserve it either. And even though we don't earn it or we're not worthy of it, we are commanded to put it into use for the world to marvel at, especially when you practice it in an extreme case. Because often when you're crying, the world is going to laugh at you. They'll laugh at you and shake their head because they don't understand it. But you can glorify God and use that as an example of lifting Him up and teaching them through your example of what He's done in your life. Grace, extreme and amazing, will not put you into corners, but places and situations that will be very difficult at times. But also grace in motherhood and life, in any form, but particularly in the extreme, will make you both laugh and cry. The world only shakes its head and laughs. Example of this is found in Genesis, the very first time we read about the word grace. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that word in the Hebrew is kan, and it means favor or acceptance. He just found favor and acceptance. And we find grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9, hoping in God and realizing that through living, and realizing through living his love. 1 John 4:16 says God is love. And that's important because it doesn't say love is God. I often use this when I'm doing a wedding, because you know everybody's talking about love and there's a whole lot of love, everybody's in love, and you know they just don't want to hear the pastor talk anyway. They just want him to get done and sign the papers, and so they can eat and smash cake in their face and do all things like that. But I always say, guys, God is love. We don't define the word love, because that's what you see today. You see the world flipping it around, you know. Love is this and love is that. No, God defines love. God is love. He made it. And part of that love is grace. That's how you find his love. And it's not of ourselves. It's a gift. And only through his blood and using it in our own lives will you find the inner heart of God and the freedom he desires to have. You know, with motherhood, when your child is sick and suffering, and this goes to fatherhood, you'll do anything to try to take that pain on yourself. I mean, who's not prayed that, right, as a child? Lord, let me take that. Even when your kids are going through something, Lord, let me take that. Let me take that. But no matter what you do, it can't be done. It just can't be. Why? It's not that God is cruel and he sets us down for an object lesson to watch our most prized possession suffer. Through this process of pain and suffering, we not only see his grace, love, and compassion, but we know it, and how much we find out how much he loves us and he'll never forsake us. Grace with faith equals love in the person of God, and it keeps the devil from stealing our life, love, and purpose. It's that proper perspective. It keeps our eyes focused on the cross, where the ultimate sign of suffering with God's Son, not that he was made to suffer just for suffering's sake, but for all of our sake. I mean, do we understand why all the things happen to kids and everybody in the world? No. God just says, just believe in me, believe in me, believe in me. Exercise grace, have faith in me, and you'll see the love. You'll see that heart. That's why Proverbs tells us to guard your heart above all things, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. It's the center of everything. The cross should always remind us of God's giving of his only Son for our sins. And our kids, guys, our kids are ultimately his. Okay, he gives them to us to take care of. And then we raise them up, and after 18 years, you either kick them out or they leave on your own, because, or maybe they'll hang around till they're 45, I don't know, 55, 65, take care of you. But you know what? They have to learn things on their own too. And as much as you hate to see them fail, sometimes they have to just do it on their own. But there's grace there. There's grace. You extend them grace and mercy. Grace in English, elegance, refinement, loveliness, polish, beauty, style, poise, or charm. You say, boy, they're graceful. You know, wow. That's a word you like to be described as, graceful. It's a very nice word and extremely important and a beneficial attribute to have in your personal arsenal. I'm talking about, as a Christian, the grace of God, the saving grace of God. And when you put it into play, it's going to result in almost every possible emotion you can think of. Sometimes all at the same time, okay? Your kids will make you angry. Your spouse will make you angry. The person next to you, given enough time, will make you angry. And yes, even God will produce anger in your life. That's why we need grace, because just not any kind will do. The grace of God, grace plus truth. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love when you see the word grace in the Bible, it's almost always connected to something else. Almost always. Grace and motherhood can be viewed as holding the stem of a rose, just grabbing the stem of a rose and beholding the beauty of the flower. That's kind of what grace is. It's all part of the same thing, and it can't be divided. You have to have one. You can't have one without the other. You separate the stem from the flower, and it will not receive all the nutrients that is needed to produce the elegant flower. And you take away grace and the ability to use it, and your soul will die. It'll die. It'll wither away. The stem will die, and the flower will die. The only place to truly appreciate a rose is to hold it by the stem. And that's the way the grace of God often operates. That's the way motherhood often operates. It's kind of like, man, I'm looking at my kid, but I'm hanging on to him, and it really hurts. And that's the way grace is, undeserved. There are countless verses on grace, and its importance can't be overemphasized. There are shelves of books written on grace, and there's probably more on motherhood. Why? Because they're exceptionally important subjects. But the focus here today is the mother and how this word, this more than a concept, doesn't control a life, but it gives life. It holds you together from diapers, bottles, walking stitches, to see the beauty and the advancement of the age, the scars and the lessons and the graduation, the marriage, the grandchildren, the gray hairs, the no hairs, all those things. Grace covers that. But it's such a great thing. There's very few parents that would give back raising their kids. They might want to give a few of their kids back at time. Maybe sell them, rent them. Can you rent kids? I don't know. For the summer. Isn't that what summer camp was for? You just pay somebody, you know, I don't know. But you miss your kids. You like having them around. Grace is an undeserved gift that overlooks and overflows. And it's not always bad and it's not always good because it's both. Now, just wrapping this up, Revelation 22:21 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Look at that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's connected to Him. And you might not completely understand how the grace of God works. It's free. It's limitless. It's foundational. Needed to help, hold, and love, and be loved. And it can't be left alone. It can't be left alone. That's as Christians, we're not meant to be. We're not saved and be meant to, like, do nothing. We're commanded to go out and make disciples. And when you do that, you grow in the grace of God. You grow as a Christian. You know, the definition, a mother, if you look at the definition, you see words as protect, nurse, tend, cherish, pamper, or raise. And you know what? Motherhood, sometimes it's not going to make any sense. And it may seem like you're failing miserably at times, okay? I mean, any parent, you're like, man, I'm trying my best and the kids just aren't getting. But it's not perfection. It's the best of our abilities with the ultimate of God's power. Grace provides all you need when you don't know what that is, okay? The grace of God, the world doesn't understand it when it's seen, yet it's to be extended. And we know it's to be extended because Isaiah 26:10 says, "Let grace be shown to the wicked." Okay? Yet he will not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. He will deal unjustly and will not behold of the majesty of the Lord. That's kind of what I was talking about when you extend grace, even if they don't deserve it. You might be taking advantage of. We know that from Isaiah right here. It says, in the land of the uprighteous, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. But that doesn't stop us from sharing it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 puts a little more perspective on it. It says, "But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And we need to know God and point model it sort for our kids so they can understand this concept. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We need to get to know God. we get to know his character so we can understand the principle of grace and extend it to others. I mean, if we don't properly understand it, we're not going to correctly model it for other people. And as a parent, as a mother, you want your kids to learn these things. And even when you don't want to be extending that grace, model it for your kids. Use teachable moments to teach them. You know, grace and mercy, they go together. You know, there's good teachable moments in all those things. You know what? It was even important for Jesus as a child to learn this. Luke 2:40. And the child grew, speaking of Jesus, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Even Jesus had to learn it. There exists a special bond that is associated between a mother and her children, and it becomes unbreakable when grace is applied. I think it can be separated a whole lot more easy when grace isn't applied. But when it is, it becomes unbreakable because it connects the soul of people. You know, it's often overlooked. We often overlook our spiritual aspect or kind of poo-pooed or shoo-shooed away. Can I say poo? I just said poo-poo, so I don't know if that's a very manly word, but I'm not going to say it again. Shoo-shoo, put away. There has to be other things that are more appropriate. I'm not going to use that for Father's Day, okay? That would not be appropriate. But anyway, it's guys, that our spiritual being is so neglected, and it's such a strong part of our lives. And as Christians, I mean, it's God inside of us. You know, the third person of the Trinity. That's how we grow. That's how we live. That's how we witness. That's how we get discernment from God. You know, God, I'll often say, well, God told me, like I just said this morning while I was here, God was speaking to me. It's not in this audible voice, but his Holy Spirit's working in mine, and he's directing me, and he's showing me these things. He's telling me. And as I walk with God, as I read his word, like Bruce said, guys, read his word. If you want God to look, if you want him to communicate with you, this is the start. This is it. If you want to be a giant spiritually, feed on this. Feed on this, and you will. And you'll have his heart. You'll have his, and he'll teach you. He'll teach you. And we don't even deserve it. That's the thing about it. I'm just like, God, you need to talk to me today because I deserve it. You know, he'd probably say, no, you don't. You know, or maybe next month. It doesn't work that way. But mothers, I just have to say, love your identity, live your identity, and use the gift of God-given grace provided to all believers, especially in your own lives, in your station in life. Howard Johnson, who was a Christian, on the meaning of motherhood, an acronym, said, M is for the millions things she gave me. O is that she is only growing old. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I kind of looked at that. I was like, he must really love his mom. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. And R means right, and she's always right and always will be. Put them all together and they spell mother. And that word means the world to me, he said. And motherhood and grace go very well together. It's God-given attribute, and it's one he wants us to use. And when you put it together in your life, in your station, as a mother, and even as a Christian, because we're compelled and commanded to use it, it's powerful, and it binds, and it's a wonderful thing. So this is just a brief flyover of grace, because there's a whole lot more to it than this, but I hope you understand how important it is in the life of not only a mother, but of all believers, for by grace we've been saved through faith. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you just for just showing us this concept. Lord, I just thank you for the mothers you've brought here and the mothers to be. We just ask for blessings on them. Lord, I ask that they just take this word and use it. And if they don't understand it completely, you know, that's okay. That you show it to them, that you reveal it to them, that you work it out in their lives. Because it's not perfection you want, Lord. It's just the hearts of all of us. And you take it from there. So strengthen us, encourage us, lift us up, and let us always be looking to you, Lord, in your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's worship. One more song.